have a new sponsor and an old friend joining Envy Pillow here, Sierra Sil. With two rare patents and a money-back guarantee, Sierra Sil, available at Shoppers Drug Mart, London Drugs, and health food stores, is the natural mineral joint pain remedy you need.
Go to SierraSil.com, SierraSil.com, and use the code GF for 10% off.
Hey, welcome to a brand new episode. It's episode 25 of Gracefully and Frankly. I'm Erin Davis.
I'm Lisa Brandt. Happy to be here, happy to be dry, happy to be back.
And soon we'll tell you why, because I can't resist a rhyme. Now, when I took my trip to Kelowna a while back, I was lucky. We had a big vehicle and I could put in my weighted blanket and most of all, my Envy Pillow. So I was thinking of you on the road, being on a bike, and we're going to tell you all about her odyssey to and through Cape Breton in the pouring rain and cold and the nice things that happened too. But did you have your Envy Pillow strapped on the back?
No, I didn't. Not. We flew Flair Airlines and it's $70 for a carry-on bag. Can you believe it? So everything I had to fit into the bag that would go into the saddlebag on the bike. That's the amount of room I was allowed.
Holy.
That's everything. So there's no purse, there's no hair straightener, there's no multiple changes of clothes. So an Envy Pillow was not going to make the cut. I know. So I had to make do trying to karate chop those regular bouncy, overstuffed, silly pillows that they have in hotel rooms and not good for the old neckaroo. So yeah, I really missed my Envy Pillow a lot, especially after having a full face helmet on all day. Ugh. It would have been really nice to have that kind of support on my neck. So the Envy Pillow is definitely portable and I could have had it slung across me if I could have taken it with me and packed it somewhere on the bike. Mm. A week without it, I was so grateful to be back. I slept, I told my husband, like a sack of potatoes. Mm-hmm. The night I came back, laid down in my Envy Pillow in my own bed and just was gone. Woke up in the morning and felt like myself again. You get used to the support and the comfort of it.
Yeah.
I don't want to go on another trip without it, you know?
And antimicrobial too. That is so important when you're traveling. You don't know what's there. So anyway, I'm glad you didn't think about that while you were trying to fall asleep because you needed your sleep. But you can find out more at envypillow.com. And don't forget to use the letters GF. That's the code to get you 10% off on Envy Pillow. We've got a great podcast ahead for you today. We are going to talk about Lisa's travels, going to talk about noise and how it absolutely has an effect on your physical health. And then the latest poop in our neighborhood. Are you ready?
Yes, let's go.
Start your engines, baby. Well, it's so good to have you back. I mean, we didn't miss a podcast or anything, but I knew you were away. You knew you were away, and your followers on Twitter and our Gracefully and Frankly and all your other social media news. So tell us about your trip.
Well, it was mostly fantastic. Derek and I had been out to Cape Breton before on motorcycles and done the Cabot Trail and all that kind of thing. Kind of funny. I mean, it's been, I guess, maybe 13, 14 years since we did it, but every restaurant that we remembered, oh, we had a wonderful lobster meal there, or we did that, they're all gone. And they either didn't survive COVID or whatever, but nothing is the same. So it was really a new experience and we had a great time and the friends that we went with had never been. So we got to see it through fresh eyes too.
But you didn't ride the whole way. Unlike Derek, he rode from Port Stanley out to Cape Breton and you flew in from where to where?
We flew from London to Halifax and it's a really breezy 2-hour flight. My friend Monique and I went. Then we met up with them. They came and got us at the airport. We went to visit a high school friend of the guys and we got caught in the worst rain I've ever been in. It was a nightmare, really. It was kind of a crummy little two-lane road with really bad potholes. Visibility was almost nil. There was nowhere to stop.
Oh,
so we just had to keep going. The guys were exhausted and they go from just riding themselves to suddenly having passengers and baggage. And yeah, that was a rough day, but the rest of it was really great. And we had really good fun. And it was Monique's idea that we fly in and that's the way to do it. I did the ride all the way out there once. And it's, you know, I mean, when you're not the one doing the work, it's a little boring.
Oh, I wouldn't have thought that because I'd be so busy backseat driving, I'm afraid. But I guess on a bike, you just shut up and go, right?
Well, and on the 401 and those highways, it's just sitting there and it's really not that much fun. But I'm glad I did it once. But this was the way to go this time for sure.
You talk about that weather often. I think I can speak for other listeners when you're driving along in the comfort of your car and you see some poor sop who's riding along in pouring rain. You think, A, what are you doing out here? And B, this is so dangerous for you. But in your case, you guys had no choice because this was your trip. What are you thinking? Like, especially get into Derek's head when he's driving through teeming rain and you're freezing. Is there a fear factor? You've got to be afraid.
Oh, it is. There is a fear factor for sure. Especially it was cold enough that everything was slippery. Mm. There were lots of deep potholes that he was trying to miss. Plus the visibility was terrible. It was foggy. It was getting dark. And the way this two-lane highway was, and I wish I could remember the number, but anyway, the center was kind of like a dip. So when he had to go into the middle, it was like somebody took a bucket of ice water and threw it at his face.
Oh.
And so he would scream at the top of his lungs just to get the frustration out. We did have to stop one time on the side of the road. We didn't stay long. We were frozen.
Oh.
I mean, you have all your gear on, all your wet weather gear, but eventually you're just cold and wet. And he just said, I've got nothing left in the tank. I'm exhausted. Mm. And that's when you really have to bring it, is when the weather gets bad. So yeah, they were nervous and they're both really experienced riders. So it's not like they're new, but it's really tough conditions to ride in.
Oh, my heart goes out to you, especially when I saw the photo of you with all of these layers on and you looked in the nicest possible way, like a drowned frozen rat, and you wanted to, all I could think of was, oh, I hope there's a hot bath waiting for you. But you said that at your inn that you were staying at, you had a nice hot shower and that was it for the end of the day.
Oh, yeah, that's all we were living for. I just kept thinking, my hands were just stiff from my gloves were soaked. And I just kept thinking, there's a hot shower, there's a hot meal, everything's going to be warm, you can make it.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I couldn't do it.
But it was great. Other than that, it was great. So on the last day, Erin, we were going to see my cousin and her husband. We were about an hour and a half from Halifax. And Derek saw all this bad weather coming in. And we looked at each other and said, there's no way we're going in this knowingly. So I rented a mystery vehicle and they gave me a brand new Jeep Wrangler.
Mm.
Was that ever fun to drive? So that's what we went up to Scott's Bay and back in the rain and just giggling the whole time because we were dry.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Are you going to do it again or is this it?
I don't know. I'm going to wait and see what the pilot says when he gets home. He's still got, you know, a day or more left. So it's like a 15-day trip for him. It was 5 for us women. So we'll see what he has to say about it. I know it was tough.
Yeah.
You know, they're not young guys anymore. The bike's heavy. There's a lot that goes into it. A lot of people, this is when they give it up. So I'll follow his lead.
Wow. Well, you're a stronger woman than I. I just would have said, park me at the nearest hotel with Wi-Fi and a bathtub, and I will see you at the end. And did you have walkie-talkies? Like when Rob and I used to ride together, we had headphones so I could talk with him. How did you guys communicate bike to bike or with Derek?
No, we didn't. And I wear a full-face helmet, which really help during the bad weather. I had a dry head, but so I just lift the front of it and lean up and yell, and then he yells back. But that's really about it. There was nothing high tech about it at all. No.
Well, so how do you let the other rider know you want to pull off for a pit stop?
Hand signals.
Okay.
And one time they got a little bit ahead of us. And so we just pull over and they end up looking in their rear view and notice that we're not there and they end up turning around. So, you know, you figure it out, you know.
Oh,
it happens one way or another.
Exactly. And you were laughing at a sign that you saw somewhere for a hair salon. Where was that? Do you remember where it was?
It was on Cape Breton Island, somewhere on the Cabot Trail. And curl up and die for a hair salon, DYE, of course.
Yeah.
And I thought that was so catchy. Curl up and die. I thought it was great. All it had was that and scissors on the sign. It was great.
That's all you need. And you reminded me with that of a list of clever British signs that was sent to me by Kathy Burns. And just a few of them from England. There's a tree services company called Tree Wise Men. Another one, some pet nannies called Harry Poppins. And then there's Curl Up and Die. There's a sign that says Curl Up and Die. The Rolling Cones for an ice cream truck. British Hairways. And they have the British Airways logo on it. Gents Hairdressing Lounge. So It Seems, Clothing Alterations. Tequila Mockingbird, which of course is a bar. Here's a Key Mechanisms van that's called Sherlock Holmes. Movers called Jean-Claude Van Man. I thought you might like that one. Yeah. An ironing service called Iron Maiden.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
A florist called Back to the Fuchsia.
There is an antique store in London, Ontario called Back to the Fuchsia. That's funny too.
Oh,
yeah.
And two of my favorites for flooring. You know that in England they call linoleum lino. There's a guy named Richard McKinley who has a van called Lino Richie. And finally, professional wall and floor tiler, Bonnie Tyler's.
So that's good. Those are really good.
Yeah. Almost as good as my sister's West Kelowna concierge service. Her husband's name is Paul, and I take credit for this one, but it's Better Call Paul. And people love that.
That's really good.
I don't know how long it's going to last when Better Call Saul is kind of out of people's memory, but for now, it's still got kind of cachet.
Oh, I think it'll stay in the lexicon. In fact, this is proof. A comedian named Brian Regan does a bit about seeing a roofing company sign that made him just want to weep because it was called Fiedler Roofers. And he's like, how can you not do Fiedler on the roof?
Exactly.
You know? And
wow.
That's, yeah. I think those things stay forever. So that's great. Better Call Paul. You know, Aaron, when we're on the motorcycle, I have my hearing aids in, of course, so I can hear if somebody talks to me. But I think the sound is worse for the people we're rumbling past because the way it travels behind us, and we're certainly noticed. There were little kids in one town, and you know how you pull your hand down for a tractor trailer to honk?
Mm-hmm.
They were doing like an acceleration thing for the motorcycle for us to rumble it up for them, and we didn't realize what the heck they were doing until we were past them. So,
oh, that's cute. But you and I are very noise sensitive,
yeah.
And I sometimes envy you being able to just kind of take off your hearing aids or set them differently so that the noise isn't disturbing. In fact, you wrote a really good blog about this a few weeks ago. And go to voiceoflisabrant.com to hear, in Lisa's words, what this was all about. And I found some more research that I was thinking about this blog post too. So because this is something so big to both of us, and it's not our age, is it?
No, apparently it's not. According to this research, and it's not going to be really surprising when you think about how many kids do you see, young adults, with earbuds in all the time and cranked up. And people believe as well that since the pandemic that our communities have gotten louder. And part of the reason for that, according to the researchers, is because we know what true silence feels like now or sounds like, right? Unless you live out in the middle of nowhere, you don't really get silence. But when everything was shut down, we got it. So we know what it's like to have it really quiet. And now we, the collective we, are a little more irritated by noise.
That's really interesting. I've always been very noise sensitive. As you know, when you're in our house, if Rob's going to run the in-sync carburetor thing, he'll say, big noise.
Right.
Or if he's going to start the grinder on the coffee maker, he'll say, big noise.
Yeah.
Because I jump out of my skin. Sometimes somebody sneezing can, like the other day when my sister and I were together, it was Paul, a Better Call Paul, and he had this big sneeze and we both turned to him and went, Jesus! And he was like, what? And it, because even a sneeze can be so loud that you leap out of your skin. I wonder sometimes if it's because I'm so deep inside my head, I'm thinking all the time, that any noise at all is enough to jar me. I don't know. I wouldn't call myself a nervous person.
No, I think you're right. I think there's stuff going on in your head and it jolts you out of it. I also think, Aaron, I don't know how Paul sneezes, but I've heard people who sneeze like it's a decision to make that big, loud sound with your mouth. You choose to do that or not do that. And that, honestly, that bugs me. That's not necessary. A sneeze doesn't have to be that way. And I think that's also part of it. You know, it's like, well, why don't you just do it a little more quietly?
I know. What I wanted to say to him ended with you, but didn't start with bless. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
Well, restaurants, I think, have become truly the biggest offender. And as we know, it's an effect that happens because the noise of the restaurant rises. You have to speak more loudly to be heard, and it layers and layers and layers. In fact, I recall you saying that you wrote to this restaurant, and you're not that kind of person. You aren't somebody who just writes and complains about things. But I wonder, could you share kind of the contents of that email? Because I think it took a lot to say this, and I wonder if they might add some drapes or something that might absorb the sound.
Yeah, we work with sound, so we know that they need some soft surfaces. They need something to absorb the sound. Everything is hard angles, hard surfaces. We were in a restaurant in Cape Breton that was exactly the same. It's a big cavernous space, very cool, very nicely decorated. The food was great, but everyone's voice bounced all over. And that's basically what I said to them. They just won another national best of list designation, this restaurant in London, and we love it. But it's not just me. Everyone I've ever been with has said, this is way too loud. So all I did was say, look, I work with sound. And if you got some padding, foam, covered it with beautiful fabric or whatever, black fabric, if you don't want it to be seen, and put them strategically around the place, get somebody who knows about sound to come in and do a little bit of a consultation for you, it would make a huge difference to the enjoyment of this place. The food's great. The service is great. But it's just so annoying when you can't hear who you're sitting with.
It could be now that they're winning all the awards that they think, well, if it ain't broke, don't fix it or muffle it.
Yep.
But did you hear back from them at all?
I never heard back. In fact, the first email I sent through their website came back as undeliverable.
Oh.
Through their own website.
Oops.
So yeah, I don't know. You can't contact them through Facebook. You can't do anything. And you know how I feel about long phone calls, even short phone calls. So I haven't phoned them. I just moved on, but they're lost.
Well, like the people in the restaurant, you're not going to be heard. So unfortunately.
Yeah.
So a New York Times piece a couple of days ago that I said reminded me of your piece on noise, because it is a real thing with me. Unpleasant noise enters your body through your ears, but is relayed to the stress detection center in your brain. And anybody who's been through addiction or knows anything about that little lizard center in your brain that says, have another drink or go ahead and do it, you know, it's called the amygdala, and it triggers a cascade of reactions in your body. And if it's chronically overactivated by noise, Lisa, the reactions begin to produce harmful effects. The endocrine system can overreact, causing too much cortisol, adrenaline, and other chemicals coursing through your body. That's not the amuse-bouche or the appetizer, darling. That's adrenaline.
Right.
The sympathetic nerve system can become hyperactivated, quickening the heart rate, raising blood pressure, and triggering the production of inflammatory cells. And this increases the risk of heart disease, heart attacks, and stroke.
Wow.
So there, I mean, for people who live in especially impoverished areas around airports, this thing happens all the time. People who live along train tracks, the decibel levels are unbelievable. And yes, it actually affects our longevity. So there's nothing wrong with craving quiet.
Yeah.
It's so lovely, except when you're listening to a podcast, because you and I, we speak in such measured tones, and the music is all perfectly mixed, and we're never too loud, and we never scream or anything.
Nobody sneezes. No.
Oh, wait, I have this to drop in.
Okay. So my therapist has moved offices. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lovely place, and, you know, the old place is under construction.
Sorry, I didn't. Oh, sorry. Start all over. Sorry.
We need to keep outtakes.
Yeah, she just
seriously
starts her. And you didn't say bless you, so I think our relationship is over. All right. Anyway.
I was going to say you are so good looking.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
There was that time. Yes. And we both thought it was hilarious. And I don't know why I say that, but we did. Okay. So it did make it to the podcast. God bless you.
You are so good looking.
Thank you.
I can't believe I've been teasing this for a few weeks because it's just so silly, but
okay.
The drama in our neighborhood about dog poo, Lisa, is it's like desperate housewives but desperate for a life. So people who know me, as you do well, know that in March we bought a dog and she's a year old Havanese and her name is Dottie. I want to change it to Betty. Is that wrong?
No, that's not wrong.
And there are ways to change your dog's name.
Yes, of course.
Actually, I want to change Rob's name to Betty because it's Pride Month and I just do. But let's call her Dottie now because I'm out of my mind. But Dottie likes to go outside 3-4 times a day. She's also trained to go on pee pads, which is wonderful teems rain here. Yeah. But when we go outside, it seems like 4 out of 5 lawns in our immediate area, which, as you know, with a dog, it has to be immediate. You can't say, okay, we're going to put you in the car and take you to another neighborhood like kids do for Halloween candy.
Right.
But 4 out of 5 have little bronze colored dog signs. They are cut out to look like a dog taking a little poop that has in big letters, emphatically with an exclamation mark, no. Meaning, don't poop on my lawn. Well, God bless the dogs who can read is the first thing. We must live in a very gifted neighborhood. So I try and steer away from these because I'm a good neighbor and we all know each other's phone numbers and emails and stuff. But if she has to do her doodle on somebody's lawn, I make a great big production where I take the poo bag. I practically wave it in the air like somebody beginning a duel. Here I am with my poo bag and I'm about to pick it up. Watch how long I take. I'm getting every little bit. So I do that. And then if I'm on one of those no lawns, I will find another poo and pick it up too. So that if the owner runs out and says, hey, you, with the outfit that vaguely looks like pajamas that you're trying to camouflage as outside clothes, why did you let your dog poo on my lawn? And no, she had to, but look, I picked up another one and I'm ready to open it up like a CSI showing evidence and say, I'm trying to do a good thing here. So that's where we are. The other day, I'm walking Dottie down our road and I get a conversation going with one of our neighbors. Turns out the day before I'd waved hi and he was on his phone and he just kind of gave me a curt wave back, which didn't bother me because I didn't want to talk. I had AirPods in and I'm listening to a podcast, not ours. I'm not that narcissistic. But Rachel Maddow has a new podcast and it's fantastic.
Good.
Okay. So the next day he says, sorry, I didn't chat with you yesterday. I was helping our neighbors who are away and their watering system went crazy. And I said, yeah, that's why it looked like Bellagio in the feature. And we laughed. And then I said, I'm really sorry if Dottie ever goes on your lawn. I've seen the signs, but honest to goodness, I pick it up. And he said, no, those were put up for somebody who routinely leaves their dog's mess. And he says, and we know who it is. And this is where it got interesting. This is where we go from the law to the order part of the episode. Okay.
Huh.
So he and his wife are up having breakfast in their, I'm going to call it a nook because I'll bet it's a nook. And they look down and they see this guy in a hoodie walking 2 dogs that look like Dottie but are blonde. So they know it's not her. And he walks along and his wife says, I bet that's him. And the husband said, huh, maybe. And she said, no, go out and take a look. So just like Desperate Housewives, he sneaks into his front yard and their yard is very elevated. There's a great big wall that goes down. So he's up there behind the bushes and he's looking through. And sure enough, Hoodie Man lets his dogs doodle on the lawn and then walks on. So I'm like, well, what did you do? I have to take a sip of water. This is so exciting. Okay. All right, Dottie, hang on. She's in the studio with me. She always is. He said, well, I didn't do anything because this guy looked really rough and I didn't want to have a confrontation. And I said, well, you know, if I was passive aggressive, and really that's part of my astrological sign, I would have said, do you need some poo bags? And just given him a roll of poo bags. But he said, no, I didn't want any interaction with the guy at all. He said, what I'd like to do is find out where he lives and go and have a talk with him, which to me seems like you're poking the bear in his own lair. What would you do, Lisa Brandt? Tell me what you would do.
The whole time you're talking about this and about him seeing the guy and everything, I'm thinking, why don't you talk to him? Why don't you just talk to him? But I see what he's saying, but I would talk to the guy. Absolutely. This is, you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of one person, and I maybe this has happened to you at a radio station or something, one person is doing something on the air that a weenie program director wants them to stop. But instead of talking to them directly, they put a memo out to everybody.
Yep.
Don't do this. That's the first thing that came to mind because I've experienced that several times. It's like, you know, Dan or Don or somebody who is doing this, have some stones and talk to him and tell him to stop. Don't blanket all of us.
Right.
I think he should go talk to him unless he's driving in from someplace far away and purposely leaving poop on expensive looking lawns or something. And he thinks he's in for a fight. What do you think he should do? Spray him with a hose?
I don't know. I had this fantasy in my head of a speaker in the bushes going, stop. Remember those really cheesy alarm force or whatever commercials? That were, stop.
Yes.
There is someone in your home. You know, like, stop.
The poop police is on the way.
Poop police. Never mind. Who was that?
Cheap Trick.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's who it was. Cheap Trick. Yeah, we wish.
So that is the ultimate in being rude, though. I remember picking up leaves. One time I ran out of bags because I had two dogs for a while. And I remember picking up leaves and wrapping the poo like the worst sushi in the world and carrying it home. You know, I would do anything rather than leave a dog's mess on a lawn. And it is not good. That's got to be stopped.
Yeah, it does. But you know what? If that's the worst thing happening in your neighborhood, I think we're pretty darn lucky, aren't we? I mean, we're not worried about pulling into a driveway where somebody's got a gun. And honestly, if it was the U.S., you would think twice about going to Buddy's house and saying, could you please just pick up after your dog? So I guess in perspective, it really doesn't amount to a hill of, well, poop. All right, I think that that's where we wrap up. Who says we don't get high-minded and intellectual on this podcast, Lisa? I mean, we referenced the New York Times and talked about dog poop. And of course, your trip down east and noise and everything else. So I think we pretty much got it covered, right?
Yeah, I think we're wise to stay away from food this time. So pretty good range of topics, yes.
So anyway, if you want to take part in this conversation, why don't you do it? Go to Gracefully and Frankly, our Facebook page, or you can email us too. It's gracefullyfrankly@gmail.com. We just love to hear from you. One of us or both of us will answer you back. And we're really fans of staying in touch. So thanks so much for listening to episode 25. How about that? And there's always more to come.
All right. Till next time. That's right. She's Erin Davis.
And she's Lisa Brandt.
Catch you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.